You know, we praise God by the things that we say and the things that we do in this world today. And in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, it says, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." So whatsoever we do in word or in deed, that pretty much covers everything, because it's the things that we say and the things that we do. We need to praise Him. You know, today I know we're praising God for so many wonderful things. We're praising God for Carl. We're praising God for me. You know, we're praising God because He is so good unto us, and He watches over us, and He protects us each and every day of our lives. And we should just praise Him for that. We should, as it says in here, give thanks. Give thanks unto Him. You know, we need to thank God for the things that He does for us each and every day. And I think a lot of times that we are remiss in these things. You know, lately, and I don't know why it just seems lately, it's just that I realize that more. You know, and maybe it was because, you know, when you don't have a job and then you have a job, and when I passed that physical, you know, I went out in the car and I sat for a few minutes and I thanked the Lord for passing that physical. Because if I wasn't able to pass that physical, I couldn't get that job. When I passed that first test, you know, and you think, okay, it's an easy thing, but there was another gentleman that was there that was taking the test at the same time, and he didn't pass the test because I was up turning my test in, and I heard her saying, well, here's the questions you miss, here's the sections that you need to study and everything. So, you know, passing a test is not a given. You know, Brother Jeff, I heard him when I was walking over here talking with Brother Leo. He's saying how yesterday he was studying from 7 o'clock in the morning to 7 o'clock at night. Now, I'm sure he's studying for schoolwork because he's going to have to pass a test sooner or later. And passing that test is not a gimme. You know, no test is a gimme. And it's like anything, if you don't study for it. So we need to praise God. One, God gives us the ability to get down and to study for something like that. He gives us a ready and a willing mind to do these things. So when we need to praise Him by the things we say and the things we do. This church, we're going to go this afternoon, 1:30, Chicagoland Christian Village. We're praising God's name that He's giving us the ability that we're going to go there and to do this. We do not know what an impact we might have on somebody inside there. Now, there might be various things we could do. We don't know. That's what we're going there. That's why Sandy has set this up. So we can go there and find out the things that we can do. Some of the things we might do is pray with some of these people. Some of these things we might want to sit down and read the Bible with them. You know, we might sing songs. We don't know, I mean, you know, how it lifts people up. You know, maybe just a simple phone call. You know, just lifts people up. And, you know, and I'm sure saying I'm the first one. I should talk. Because I sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. More often I don't. But, you know, we know what room Sister Lorraine is in. If we can't go visit her, we should give her a little call. And sometimes it's not the big things, it's the little things that we do. You know, because sometimes when we want to do big things, what do? We try to claim the glory, don't we? Well, look what I did. That's of the world. We should have that humble spirit of God when we go and we do these things. You know, we've got to watch out in word. You know, I've learned this past week, that we need to watch out. Sometimes the things we say aren't very pleasing and aren't pleasing to God. I know sometimes we don't mean to say things, but sometimes we do. Sometimes they're hurtful. Sometimes they're more hurtful than actual physical hurt. So we need to watch out the things that we say and the things that we do in the world today. And I started thinking a little bit about this, and I looked at, back in the Old Testament, I've got some things written down here for the New Testament, but back in the Old Testament, I looked at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, a little bit by the things that they said, but mostly by the things that they did, they praised God. Just by what they did. They were told that whenever they heard this music, that they were supposed to bow down and worship an image. Now, as we were talking about the Ten Commandments, it said, what does the Ten Commandments tell us? We're not supposed to worship any other gods. Just God. And they knew that. So they sat there and they finally said, look, we're not going to do it. The king got very angry, didn't he? And he said, look, if you don't, the punishment is I'm going to throw you in the fire. And he said, I'm going to give you one last chance. One last chance. Are you going to do it? What did they say? And I guess it was by the things that what they said. They said, we're not careful to answer you, O King Nebuchadnezzar. For our Lord God will deliver us out of that. And even if not, we're still not going to do it. So they were praising Him by the things that they said and then by the things that they did. And He said, all right, if that's the way you want to be, I'm going to throw you in the fire. Now, I believe that God would give us the grace that we would be able to answer them in the same way, the king. We would be able to. I believe that in this day today, if the same thing would happen to us today, that God would give us the grace that we would take that stand for Him. We could look at Daniel, by the things that he said and the things that he did. He praised God. The people were jealous. Jealousy is a strange thing, isn't it? That's why I said we should not be jealous of the gifts. We should be thankful for the gifts that God has given to each and every one of us. The people that were higher up in the government, they didn't like Daniel a whole lot. And they wanted to try to find something wherewith they could accuse Daniel. Now, Daniel was a good guy. But he was only good because of what? By the grace of God. That God was with him. Not because that it was anything that he was doing. And so they realized that the only way they could find anything against Daniel was, the Bible says, against his God. That he wouldn't do anything that would go against his God. So they said, well, we're going to make it that you can't ask any petitions. Now, the thing that Daniel did was, and they noticed it, was that he was praying three times a day to his God. And he was doing it where anybody could see him. He wasn't trying to hide it. And they said that no one could ask a petition of anybody else but the king. So, when Daniel knew it had been signed, he went in, and what does the Bible say? He went into his house, he didn't close the curtain, and he prayed to God, and they seen him, and they brought an accusation against him. And the king finally had to agree with the punishment, so they threw him in the lion's den. And all night long, the king really did like Daniel and tried to find a way to not be able to do it, knew that he had been kind of tricked by his advisors. He kind of knew it. He was up all night long, and finally when the daylight came, what did he do? He ran down to the lion's den. Daniel, are you okay? And he said, yes. My God has delivered me. He delivered him from the lion's den. What did the king do then? He threw his advisors into the lion's den. We praise God by the things that we do and the things that we say. So when you're out in the world, don't take things so lightly when you're out into the world. The things that we say and the things that we do are an expression of how we believe and what we believe in the world today. And we are going to be tested, I believe, as Christians. We're going to be tested in the years ahead. I don't think it's going to get easier. I think it's going to get harder in the years ahead. So we need to stand up for the things in which we believe in and praise God for all these things. And praising God, part of that is what? Giving thanks. Giving thanks unto Him. If we look at it on a daily basis, we can give thanks for so many different things. Because He is so good unto us. Turn a little bit back farther into the New Testament. Luke chapter 24. I must have got the wrong chapter. I'm sorry. I'll go on to the next one. Turn to Galatians chapter 1. I apologize. Galatians chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 5. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul is essentially giving praise unto God. He's giving praise. Look at what he's saying. You know, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. We're praising God because he sent his Son into the world to what? Deliver us from our sins. Gave himself for our sins. He might deliver us from this present evil world, and to him be glory forever and ever. See, we need to praise him in everything, for all the things that he has done for us. Praise him because he gave his Son. He didn't have to do it. He wanted to do it. And Jesus, remember what he said, no man takes my life. He says, I give my life. He gave his life for you. Wouldn't you want to praise him for that? Wouldn't you want to thank him for that, for what he did? Every day we should be praising him and we should be thanking him for what he did, that he might deliver us from this present evil world in which we live. This is an evil world. This is an evil world in which we live. I was going to say, some of the things that we can say or do out in the world is, if you hear somebody using the Lord's name in vain, how many times have we said to that individual, I wish you wouldn't do that? But then I look at it and say, and maybe we shouldn't be worried about that, is in the world in which we live today, some people can resort to physical violence. But if we do it, I believe in the Spirit of God, that we should mention that to people. And how many times have you been out in the world? Maybe you're in a store. Maybe you're in a restaurant. You're just walking down the street and you hear the language that people are using. You know, it's terrible. Even by listening to that, we can give thanks unto God, because God has given us a ready mind that we would not use that language. It says, don't use the name of the Lord your God in vain. And sometimes it might seem to be very innocent, doesn't it? I know there's the normal ones that we've all heard, and we're not going to repeat and everything. You know, but some people just say, well, Jesus Christ, that's not honoring to God, is it? That's not praising Him, is it? And I know there's some people, and I know my mother was the one who used to do that all the time. And I finally talked with her about it, and she didn't realize she was doing it. Sometimes they don't. I know sometimes we just accept it because of it's the individual and it's the person. But is that acceptable? Is that acceptable? We need to watch it out in the world today. The things we do. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. First Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Now the other one says, whatsoever we do in word or deed. This is saying, whatsoever ye eat, whatsoever ye drink. And it's saying, whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And you've heard me say before, God doesn't want part-time Christians. He wants a full-time Christian. All the time. We just can't be a Christian when it's convenient for us, and when it's not convenient, we don't want to be a Christian. You can't do that. You have to do it for Him all the time. And is it a hard thing to do? Yes, it's a hard thing to do. Sometimes we just want to go with the flow, don't we? We don't want to upset the apple cart or anything like that. We don't want to get anybody mad at us. So we will go along with it, don't we? This is telling us we should not go along with it. Because sometimes we think that we can get away with it, can't we? It's like we think that, okay, God's not going to see me. But He does. You know, we've so many times, we've all talked about it. You know, the attributes of God. He's omnipresent. He's God. Remember in Psalms, there's not a word that proceeds out of our mouth that He doesn't know what that word is. He knows about the things that we say. He knows that the things that we do. He knows the things that we don't say. I was talking about that with my wife this morning. He knows what? He knows the thoughts and the intents of our heart. He knows everything. You can't hide from Him at all. So, whatever we do, do all to the glory of God. Do all to the glory of God. I'm going to reiterate this. It's not easy. It's hard. You know, going back to what we're talking about, studying for a test or something like that. Maybe for some people it's easier, some people it's hard. But it's hard. It takes effort to do it, doesn't it? With these things, it's going to take effort. It's a hard thing to do. But you think that, not that it would become second nature, but almost that it would become a second nature, serving Him. That we wouldn't have to react to anything. We would know beforehand what to do. What to do in a situation. We would be able to do those things. The things that we do. We're going to look at some things about what we would say. Turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to go to two places in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Paul says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." That corrupt communication means evil words. Let no evil words proceed out of your mouth. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister what? Grace unto the hearers. So we should not let evil words proceed out of our mouths. Only those things which are good to the use of edifying are building people up. Chapter 5, verse 19. "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." How many times have you maybe out and about during the day and all of a sudden just the song comes to your mind and you just start singing? Sometimes you don't have to sing it outwardly. Sometimes the best singing I do is my head, because I'm never off key when I'm singing in my head. Sometimes when it comes out of my mouth, it don't sound the same that's up in my head. But when I was in the Czech Republic, I might have said about this one time, I was by our one castle. We were out, we weren't close to the big city, the bigger city. We're just a little bitty city. You kind of could say you're out in the sticks a little bit if you're back here. And there was this old ruin of this castle. And the one Sunday, I went up there and I was sitting on a bench up there. And I was just where this bench was. And of course, castles, you know, they don't put castles down the valley. They put castles up on the top of hills so that, you know, you can see the people that are coming down to attack you. So it's up there. And just looking out over this valley and everything, it was just beautiful and it was just gorgeous and everything. And I just started singing Amazing Grace. And it was out loud. I thought it was beautiful that time. But see, it was, you know, praising God, you know, it doesn't have to be anybody there to hear it, does there, Brother Jeff? It doesn't have to be anybody there to hear it. There was nobody there to hear it. And I was just singing. And I was just praising God because I just realized, you know, how good He is to us. How good He is to me. Because I wasn't a very good flyer. See, when I get on an airplane, I see so many people probably get an airplane and think everything is going to be okay. I'm sitting there thinking, okay, what could go wrong? That's not, I guess, the best thing to do when you're on an airplane and everything. But it was like, you know, I'm sitting there, I'm kind of leaning up against the side of the plane and whatever. And, of course, when the pilot has on autopilot, you know, it's going to kind of, you know, do the engines a little bit. And I'm hearing the different sounds in the engine, and I'm like, okay, you know, what's going on or whatever. But God was really good to me. And I praise God for being so thankful, because I did a lot of traveling going over into Europe and into England and everything. And when we went down to Florida, my wife, she kept saying, you know,
was kind of like, well, you can drive if you want to. You can ride with Matt and Christina and Vinny and Joey if you want to, she says. But you know what? She goes, as for me, she goes, I'm going to fly down there. She goes, because I'd rather be an hour and a half on the plane than, you know, 18 hours in a car and whatever. That does make sense. So, but, you know, I praise God because he was so good to me. That's for sure. And singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You know, because He can, even when it's in your mind, remember, He can hear you singing and praising God. And that's just wonderful as we look at these things. Hopefully I got this one right in Luke. I got chapter 19, so let's go to Luke chapter 19. Luke 19, verse 37. let's go to verse 35. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. Let's continue on. Saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. So the disciples, when they seen Jesus and he was on the colt, and he's coming along, and at the Mount of Olives, and the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and what? Praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty things, the mighty works that they had seen. In our lives, how many mighty works have we seen done? How many works have we seen done? If we're looking, we can look just in this little church and we can see the things. Just this past week with jobs, with different things in our lives, we can just praise God for all the mighty works that He has done for us. Amen. You know, we look at this building that God has given unto us. Whatever the circumstances or whatever, it isn't fate. We should be praising God for all these things and for the mighty works that we have seen. Just in bringing some of us to know Jesus Christ. We should praise Him that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And He brings us to this point in our life that we make a public profession. It's not a private profession. It's a public profession that we want to be associated with Him and His name. And praising Him for being so good to sinners as we are. Because that's what we are. We're sinners. We're nothing but sinners saved by the grace of God. You know, we have a song in here. I'm going to have to look to see what number it is. Hang on a second. You don't have to turn there. It's Song 19 in our songs book. But it's we praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. We praise Thee, O God, for Thy Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and hath cleansed every stain. You know, the title of the song is Revive Us Again. Revive us again, fill each heart with Thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Have you lost it maybe a little bit? Maybe you should be saying is this, you know, that maybe we've lost it. Our soul be rekindled with fire from above.
Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love. You know, some of the other songs that we were singing today, you know, it's just amazing, you know, as we look at this thing, as we sang, you know, out in the cold world, you know, Jesus has done all things well. And we need to praise Him for that. He has done all things well. And remember how we said the things that we say, the things that we do. And as I live, I want to tell. I want to tell. You know, if we get a chance, we need to go and talk about Jesus out in the world. Tell Him how good He's been unto each and every one of us. You know, the song that Sister Esther asked for, 555, I Know Who Holds Tomorrow. I think I might have heard it, but it's been a while since I might have sang it or anything like that. You know, we need to praise Him. Why? Because I don't know about tomorrow. I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. Now, I know that we have to plan for things in the future. We all understand that. But how are we to live? We are to live from day to day. As we look at these things, you know, I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry o'er the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today I'll walk beside Him, for He knows what is ahead. Today, are we walking beside Him? For what? He knows what is ahead. Remember what I said. I want, you know, the bumper sticker says, Jesus is my co-pilot. I want Jesus not to be my co-pilot. I want to be my pilot. For He knows what is ahead. I don't know what is ahead, but He knows what's ahead. He knows everything. You know, many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. And that just got to me. You know, He is holding our hand. This is what we can have faith and trust in, knowing that as He's holding my hand, He's holding Jeff's hand, He's holding Butchie's hand, He's holding Roger, Matt, Susie, Bill, you know, Leroy. He can hold all of our hands at one time. He's omnipresent. He's God. He's not restricted by anything that is in this world. See, we restrict Him by our finite minds. We do, in a way. We restrict Him. At times, we just think, He can't understand, He can't do what I need Him to do. But He can do everything, because it says it right in this song. Man, it's just amazing. You know, the third stanza is, I don't know about tomorrow. It may bring me poverty, but the one who feeds the sparrow is the one who stands by me. And the path that be my portion may be through the flame or flood, but His presence goes before me, and I'm covered with His blood. Remember how I always said, don't just sing the songs, listen to the words. Listen to the words. That's a wonderful song that's there. See, these are the things. We can praise Him for these things here. For He holds tomorrow. He knows what tomorrow is going to bring. And He's there, you know, for each and every one of us. You know, we need to give Him thanks. You know, we praise Him by the things that we do. We need to give Him thanks for all things. We need to give Him thanks for all things. You know, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Remember, we just said, you know, 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks
always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are to give thanks for what? All things that He has given unto us. All things. It doesn't say, should we give thanks for some of the things that He's given to us? It says that we should give thanks for all things. I believe that our children are a gift of God. Our children are a gift of God. All the things that we possess have been given to us from Him. Because of these things, we should learn to be content in whatever state we're in. Remember the Apostle Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. That's a hard thing. That's a hard thing, to be content. Because we always look at this neighbor or that neighbor, this brother or that brother, and say, ooh, I wish I had that. I wish I had this. Are we not happy with what the Lord has given us? We're a complaining people. If one of the things we're learning from looking at Genesis and Exodus, that, you know, Israel was a complaining people. They weren't happy. Now, I don't know why they wouldn't be happy, but they weren't happy. They were always complaining. And I believe that has went down. A lot of times we complain. We're not happy with the state that we're in. We need to be happy. Happy. And I'm talking to Dave, because there were times during these 7 months I wasn't happy. But now I can look back on that and I can praise God. And I can thank God for being with me. I can thank God for my health, that I had no major problems or anything like that. That He was so good unto me and unto my family. I wrote down a few notes. I'm going to close with this. We need thanks are to be given at all times, in times of adversity, affliction, and persecution, as well as in times of prosperity. I know sometimes it's hard to give thanks in times of adversity and affliction and persecution. It seems strange, doesn't it, that we would want to give thanks during those times. But you know, out of all these things, what happens? God will deliver us. And we can give thanks unto Him during these times. It's easy to give thanks to God when things are prosperous and things are going good. We can always give thanks to those for those things. We need to give thanks for our very being in this world, because He hasn't promised us tomorrow, has He? We need to give thanks for spiritual blessings, for His electing us, for His redeeming us, for His adopting us, for His promises, for the truths that are revealed in His Scriptures. And last of all, the one thing that we'll be able to give Him thanks for, is eternal life. We were talking, I can't remember if it was yesterday or earlier this morning, and I said that I had heard it somewhere, I don't know where it was, but I would rather live my life believing that there is a heaven and waking up in death, or in death find out that there isn't, than living my life like there isn't a heaven and dying and finding out that there is. So how do we want to live our lives? How do we want to praise Him today? We want to live our lives and praise Him because we know that there is a heaven. You know, there are some people that don't realize that. some people that don't understand these things. We need to pray. Pray for our families. Pray for each and every one of us. We need to be, as Mark said, we need to be a praying church. Let's pray. Let's put our best foot forward in this world in which we live today. Go forth this week and think about it as you're out there in the world, that whatsoever we would do in word or deed this week, let's do all in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I thank you for your kind attention.